So last week we finished our studies in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at that prayer there that the Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians. And so we've been taking different prayers and looking at them and trying to coordinate our prayers according to the prayers that we find in Scripture. And so we come to this, or should I say the prayers and the teaching about prayer in Scripture. And so we come to this prayer in Luke chapter 18, or should I say teaching on prayer, and we'll read the first 17 verses. And he spake a parable, speaking of Christ, unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he shall find faith on the earth. Shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do that I shall inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when they heard it, when they heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So, Holy Father, we pray that you would please help us, O God, with this word. Please touch it to our hearts, we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, we start a series here in Luke chapter 18. We'll look at the first 27 verses over the next several weeks, Lord willing, and this is one of those passages where our Lord gives us specific instruction on how we are to pray. Now, there's several instances recorded for us in the Gospels when the Lord Jesus taught us how to pray. This showing that this issue of prayer was high on our Lord's priority list. And not only did he want us to pray, but I would think we would have to conclude that he wants us to pray in a particular or specific way. In a sense, there is a paradox or a seeming contradiction in prayer, and that on one hand, God obviously desires us to be sincere, which requires, for the most part, for our prayers to be unscripted, and yet, at the same time, we are to be aware that the Lord Jesus gave us specific instruction on how he wants us to pray. And I believe that that places a responsibility upon us to make sure that our prayers are in line with the biblical model. Prayer is not a free-for-all, but our prayers ought to be progressively mirroring those prayers and the instruction for prayer that we find in the Bible. I know you've heard me say that before, but I just see such a lack in us that I see in myself that we seem to pray the same prayers over and over, but yet I think our prayers ought to be changing and conforming into Scripture. And this is one of those passages where we find such instruction, and the instruction is given to us by the Lord Jesus in the form of two parables. And in God's providence, I believe the two coinciding occurrences, or two things that happened as Christ was teaching these parables, sovereignly occurred to give us further instruction on how we ought to pray. So these four stories that we just read, two parables and two of them real life situations, our Lord Jesus uses to teach us that we ought to pray with persistence, number one, in the parable of the just, or should I say the unjust judge. Number two, we are taught to pray with humility in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican praying in the temple. And the Lord Jesus receiving the little children teaches us, thirdly, that we ought to pray, I believe, and there's several different ways to interpret that, but I believe it is one who is in total dependence upon God. I think if anything characterizes an infant, it would be, what, utter dependence. If that infant is left to itself, it will die. It is in utter dependence on someone else. I really believe that that's what those texts are teaching us there when the children come to Christ. And fourthly, the rich young ruler approaching Christ and how that situation works out teaches us that we ought to be praying with an unreserved aim to the glory of Jesus Christ. That would be fourthly, praying with an unreserved aim to the glory of Christ. We won't go through all four of those. We will go through all four of them over the next several weeks, but not this evening. So before we get to each of these stories, today I will focus on verse number one. And he spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. The first parable that the Lord spoke in this chapter was only focused on how his disciples ought to be praying, while the other three stories in the first 27 verses that we just read contain other teaching principles. Do you see that? That the first parable is solely focusing on how we ought to be praying. Yet with the others, you see other principles included with it. Therefore, I believe that this first parable or story holds more weight than the other three in teaching us how we ought to pray. And we'll get more into that next week when we actually get to that first parable. So for the rest of our time, I will focus on this one statement of our Lord: men ought always to pray and not faint. So this is truly the greatest of Christian duties, is to pray. The Lord says men ought always to pray. The word ought in our passage is used 102 times in the New Testament, and 62 of the times it is translated as must. Or it could also be translated or understood as it is necessary. So I think our text could be translated, it is necessary that men pray always. It is necessary that men pray always. There can be no Christian, genuine Christian growth, nor in God's people corporately or personally a growth without an increase in prayer. We may grow in our knowledge of the Scripture, in a use of our gifts and abilities, but if those things are not proportionately increased with prayer, we will have many difficulties. Because a man can appear to be growing in grace with the development of his gifts and abilities, but without prayer, he becomes proud, while he may appear to be humble, and or he becomes self-reliant, and he can fool everyone, even himself, that he is growing spiritually, and it may be nothing but a fraud. Do you see what I'm saying? That you can grow in your knowledge of the Scripture. You can grow, I believe, even in the curving of your habits and in the development of your gifts and abilities in one way or another. But if that's not, like I said, proportionately increased with prayer, if the development of my ability and gifts is not growing with prayer, then there's a grave danger in that, because it may just be all self-willed and no God in it at all without prayer. Prayer is not optional, and yet we struggle with it, and it is why the Lord admonishes us not to faint. Pray always and not to faint, because we have this tendency to faint in prayer. We must press on in prayer. And one great hindrance and discouragement in prayer is that it seems to us that our prayers are not being answered. And we'll get more into that next week, because the first parable deals with that. But I say it today because that is important for us, not to faint in praying, but to continue on, whether it seems to us that our prayers are being answered or not. Because what will happen is, at certain times, it'll seem like many of our prayers are being answered, right? And then at other times, it may not seem like any of them are being answered. And I think a lot of that has to do with how we're praying. How we're praying and what are we praying for and how are we looking for the answers is all interconnected, right? If I'm praying for certain things that are only physical, but I'm not praying for spiritual things, as we learned in Ephesians chapter 3, then maybe the physical things that I'm praying for could change, but is it really even God's will? So I may be able to say, well, my prayers are being answered, but is it even really God's will? Unless I'm praying according to his word. So it's important. So whether my point is whether my prayers are being answered or not, the key is I have to pray according to Scripture. And there are times that God will more abundantly answer our prayers than at other times. But the important thing is that we continue on and press through in prayer. Pray always, it says. Pray always. This obviously does not mean that we must be in our prayer closet 24 hours a day. But what it does mean is that we need to be growing in our personal prayer lives. This is first. If we are not growing in our own time with the Lord, then how will we grow in any other way in terms of prayer? So growing, this is something that must develop our prayer lives. It's a struggle, but we must press on. When our personal fellowship with Christ and our closet prayer life increases, then it will affect all the other aspects of our life. Pray always. Pray with our spouses. Pray always. Pray with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray always. Pray corporately with those in the church as they gather. Pray always. Pray at work. Pray always. Pray when I'm at home. It really means to pray in every situation, in every aspect of life that I'm in, even with all of my relationships. I ought to be developing my relationships with those who are in Christ in terms of prayer, that we ought to be praying one for another and with one another as we meet together in different places. So praying becomes a way of life and not just something we do for 1 or 2 minutes at certain times during the day. Pray always. Pray in every situation, not only when things are difficult or when we need something, but pray always, the Lord would say. Men ought always to pray and not faint. And lastly, I'll just say, if the Church of Christ needs anything, it needs people that will pray. And sadly, the prayer meeting in most churches is only attended by about, 10 to maybe 20% of the people that come on Sunday morning. Isn't that right? Only 10 to 20% of the people that come on Sunday will come to the prayer meeting, sadly. And imagine if it was the other way around, or if everybody that came Sunday morning came for the prayer meeting, the power and the move of God that we would see if people came to pray. So if God's church, if the Lord Jesus' church, by his grace, needs anything, it needs people to pray and to pray always. So let us pray now. Father in heaven, oh God, we certainly need people to pray. Would you raise up people to pray, Lord God, here at this church, by your grace, Lord, please draw people to yourself, and I pray that you would there would be a peculiar move of this Spirit in prayer for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.